Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Let's Coach with Mark and Carolyn, the show that brings you the best from the professional coaching world for you to use in your daily life. You'll be joining myself, Mark Thorne, and my co-host, Carolyn Owens. Carolyn and I are both professional coaches. I'm an executive and leadership coach. Carolyn is a career coach. We both love what we do. We get to work with great people and help them make what they do and their lives even better than they are on a day-to-day basis. So it's just so much fun. Again, Carol and I both do lots of different kinds of things, but we spend a lot of time working with clients and making sure that they make their lives better. And it just is a wonderful thing to do. As far as the show goes, we talk about coaching topics, things that you can use. We also bring ideas for and from small businesses. Most coaches are, in fact, small business people, solopreneurs, and we help them every chance we get. And then probably the most important thing to both Carolyn and I is the paying it forward piece. That's a theme of all of our shows. We found that almost all small business people spend a lot of their personal time making things better in their local in their local communities. And again, they don't do it for any reason other than they want to live in a better place. So we bring lots of those kinds of stories to the fore, and it's something that's, again, very important to both Carolyn and I. So Carolyn, how are you doing today?
Excuse me. Hi. Good morning or afternoon to our listeners, wherever they may be. It's a wonderful, beautiful day here in Maryland. A lot of exciting things still going on, winding down from a few things, but ready for some new adventures that lie ahead.
So you've been a busy lady. You've been doing lots of different things. Anything you want to share today?
Well, I already posted about it on Facebook, so of course I can share. You know, Facebook is like the first source of information, right? But I had the privilege of volunteering at the Anne Arundel County Public Schools Music Camp. It's something I try to do every year for the past, I think it's 4 or 5 years now. And I just love what you see happen because on Sunday, all these kids come together from across the county, and they've never played together before. And you have orchestra, you have chorus, you have the band. And by, 5 days later, they're just playing this great music together, and I love it. And to think about the area that I work in, I get to hear music, pretty much all day long with them playing. And I'm coming back and forth each year. I've got to see some of the kids grow up and graduate from high school. So it's really a dedicated week that I try not to miss of volunteering, and I love every bit of it. So, and we always talk about, how we give back, and that's one of the ways that I truly, truly enjoy giving back. And just before that, literally the day before I left for that, we had just ended the National Christian Writers Conference, which was such a huge success. People are still talking about it and some of the powerful connections that were made because of that event. I mean, you still see a lot of posts on social media, and I still have some things to share about some great connections and things that are happening with some of the attendees and some of the entertainers and speakers that were there and how they're continuing to connect and work together. So I am really, really honored at all the success that came from that event. Antonio Crawford, who pretty much owns the event, and Lane Effridge and Stephen Stewart, who's been on BET, all flew in for the event. And like I said, they just helped to make it such a great success, along with Ken Roshan, who's here locally in Maryland. He took some great photos and gave a wonderful presentation. So looking forward to see all that comes out of this. And again, our sponsor, who was on our show, Kayla Brock, health coach, She did a lot of fun exercises throughout both days to help us thinking about our health and our wellness. And I'm laughing just thinking about some of the things she did. And it was great. And the comedian had a blast with some of the things she did. So it was a lot of fun. And after the music camp, I went to CEO Space International, the forum there. I hadn't been in over a year, but it was a great opportunity to see old friends and make new friends. At the forum, you really get an opportunity to get an education about growing your business, and the networking that's done there is phenomenal. So just some of the follow-up and things. A lot of this week is about the follow-up for me, connecting with some of the people I met, getting information and other connections to them. And CEO Space is global, so the reach there, and also sharing some of the projects that I'm working on and getting the support and backing to make sure those programs go national for me was so exciting. So, and just a great opportunity. And also their teen program, my son gets to participate in. And I think that's one of the best parts of CEO Space is that teen program. He's been several times, and to see the development and the growth that comes out of there, it's amazing. So now that I'm back for a while, I'm working on my projects that I'll be launching over the next month or two and continuing to work. That's a good thing. The whole time I was traveling, I could still work with my clients and having a blast doing that. So it's really, I think I could speak for both of us when I say we love what we do and we have so much fun doing it. So it's just exciting times. And, you know, I talk about creating the life of your dreams, and I've done that. And so it's an amazing journey.
Yes, it is. You know, and again, I'm ever so happy that I'm now doing this kind of work. It's a heck of a lot of fun. You know, I loved what I did when I worked for the Navy. It was very rewarding. It was great. It was a great organization to work for. But this is so much more fun than that. Really and truly is an enjoyable thing to do. I've got some interesting things coming up. You know, I've stayed busy with clients, lots of that going on. I'm preparing today for a presentation tomorrow night to some child care providers in Delaware to do Myers-Briggs and teach them about Myers-Briggs, something that Carolyn and I are both pretty passionate about. Love to do, love to work with, and so I've got a group of folks over there set up by my friend Peggy Giesler, who is the CEO of PMG Consulting, and so I'm going to go over tomorrow night and do that work, and I'm looking forward to that a lot. Again, something that, again, is just fun and just such a useful tool. I mean, people who've been exposed to Myers-Briggs haven't always gotten the extra training in how to use it. But when you understand it, you understand how to use it, it's just so useful and so beneficial to do that it can really be life-changing. I know that I've used it a lot in my professional life. I've used it in my personal life. I used it in raising my children and in dealing with my children even today. So it's just a really, really cool tool. And I encourage any of you that have the opportunity to learn about Myers-Briggs, learn about Myers-Briggs and what your own type is, take advantage of that. If you've got any questions about how to use it or how it can work or how it can enhance what you do, you know, please get in touch with either myself or Carolyn, and we can talk to you about that. If you're trying to track me down, you can email me at dmthorne@verizon.net, or you can give me a call at 301-717-1185. And, of course, you can also find me on social media. And, Carolyn, how can they find you?
Well, you can give me a call at 901-218-7664, or you can email me at cowens@infinitycoaching.net, or you can find me on social media on Twitter at Carol R. Owens, on Facebook at infinitycoaching.co, or friend me at Carolyn Owens. And I love to connect with our listeners, any ideas or suggestions or what you'd like to see on the show, or if you want to find out more about working with me or Mark, definitely reach out and contact us. And I do want to say, you know, that we really have to do that show on the Myers-Briggs type indicator. I will say 99% of my clients I work with, that's one of the things we do, is they do the assessment. And so it really is very revealing how you find, when it's debriefed properly. There's a lot of people certified out there to do it, but they have to show you how it's applicable to your situation, your life. And so I use it a lot with career development and just looking at communication and decision making. So if you haven't taken it, I encourage you to definitely find out more about it. I've taken it. I'm going to get my son to take it shortly, and that's one of the special skills I'm looking at is learning how to administer it with youth, because it's a great place if they do it early and learn more about self-awareness and who they really are. So definitely get in touch with us to find out more information about it. And we are going to do a show on this, Mark.
Yes, we are. We do need to do that. It is such an important topic. If you would like to talk to us and you're live on the show and you're listening between 12 and 1, you can reach Carolyn and I live on the show by calling in to 602-753-1726. That's 602-753-1726. And remember that you can download the show at any time. You know, it is archived permanently, so if you would like to listen to the show via archive or pass it on to someone who you think would benefit from listening to the show, you can certainly do that. We've got a great guest today. He's been on the show before, Coach Rick Sneed. Rick is a longtime friend, one of my football coaching brothers. You know, just a wonderful group of men that I've had the privilege of working with over the past several years. I'm out of the football coaching game this year, unfortunately for me. Something I will miss, but due to my move out of state, I haven't been able to get back into that yet. But Rick is the head football coach at Calvert High School. He was a longtime assistant coach of one of our guests from a couple of weeks ago, Jerry Franks. And that Rick and I first met through Jerry. But he and I coached on the Calvert High School 2000 state championship team. So that was quite an experience to share together, and we really enjoyed it a lot. So Rick brings great X's and O's. He's really good at the technical pieces of football. He has a great football mind. He is an excellent teacher, both on the field and off the field. But Rick brings something extra to what he does. His focus, you know, he's worried about winning and losing, but his focus is really beyond the winning piece. You know, the goal of what he does and what he does in his program is to benefit the lives of the young people that he works with. Because he works through the football program, not with just the young men in the program, but other students in the school, both men and women. So he has a very, very long reach. And he brings that philosophy of making young people's lives better to everything that he does. So, Rick, welcome to the show. You're live and on the air. Thanks for coming back.
Well, it's good to have you guys and be a part of this again.
Always fun. So what's with you guys this year?
What's new with us? Today's the first start of the season, so we're going to practice this afternoon. Year five, we're really excited. Our numbers are as high as we've ever had them. Right now we're sitting about 92 and don't have all the freshmen out quite yet. So we're in good shape. We're pretty excited about it. I had a successful preseason. We had about 60 to 70 kids every night at workouts. We took a jam-packed bus of kids to Shepherd Teen Camp, where we literally had the whole bus so full that we could only take one coach on the bus. So it was 55 youngsters that went to college and were able to participate in the college team football camp. And then I guess the week prior to that, we had a successful youth camp, once again at Serenity Farms, where we facilitated, coaching and teaching to young people in our county, our community, where we had about 100 kids represented there, and no less than 25 coaches and about 25, 30 of our young people from our program who assisted. And it was a really exciting time.
So, Rick, talk about your connection to Serenity Farms. That's something you do that's much bigger than just football.
Yes. So we're always looking for service learning opportunities. And Mark, you know all too well how busy the season is. And I'm a teacher as well. And so there's a long day. And so, you know, if we were just doing football, that would be enough in itself. But when you're trying to do things outside of football to round out the character of these young men, you know, you don't want to try to recreate the wheel or try to invent things that facilitate the needs of the character piece or the needs of service learning and things like that. So, you know, we were able to connect with Bernie Fowler. It was really neat. 2 years ago during the winter, you know, Bernie was attending our church, and he moves around from church to church just to broaden his networking. And he started a program in the Hunger in Calvert County, which is through Chesapeake Church. And then beyond that, he branched out and wanted to broaden through Southern Maryland. And that whole scope has shifted completely to change the dynamics in which the way people are producing food to help hungry in your communities for the whole state. And so he ended up helping Serenity Farms out in the time they needed by leasing out part of their land and then start growing produce. And then that produce directly goes, instead of to the Maryland Food Bank, it gets distributed here locally. At food drops to people who need food. And so in seeing that, it allowed us, you know, him and I spoke about it. He had this field space, and we're like, well, how can we do this? And obviously the first thing that came to mind was, let's get our kids engaged in that, and let's have them have an opportunity to visit the farm and, you know, harvest some crops that goes directly back to the people in the community. And we've actually worked with the food drops, either here at school or local churches. We'll be holding another food drop here at the school as well, where we'll feed upwards to 130 folks in our area, specifically in Prince Frederick. And so that's where it started. But then he started looking at things like, well, you know, I had this space, and I had a friend of mine who's from Nashville who played football, for a college in Texas. And he looked at our space and said, you got to get yourself a field here because you could do camps and start networking and bringing in people from the community and make this a whole well-rounded type of facility that encompasses so many different dynamics. And I was like, well, look, if you've got space, we can run a camp on your spot. That's not a problem. And I started last year, and this year we did it again. And I can tell you that sometimes it's a headache, Mark, because, you know, each year it seems like there's something else that we're going to do that calls us additional heartache. I mean, it's a good thing, but it does stress us out a little bit. And, the second year we were upwards of 175 people here when we held it at Coward High School. And so then we moved it to Serenity Farms. So you had the anticipation of, okay, is everybody going to understand that it's still the same, package deal, but we're doing it at a different venue to bring in more of a broader scope of community and being as one. And our enrollment went down a little bit. And then this year, we went with a different company to push the advertising and to do our enrollment and registration for us. And it all worked out, but sometimes it's scary things when you do that. But the growth that we had from year one, year two at Serenity Farms this past year was just unbelievable. Bernie had a great idea of moving camp closer down to where the greenhouses are now. They're fully functional, wonderful barn set up with tables and picnic tables and everything else. And so we were able to run the kids, the younger kids in one section, the intermediate kids are working the advanced camp in another section, and our freshmen in another section. And the hands-on instruction went from 5:30 to 6 to 8:30 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. And then Saturday morning we have a fan fest, and we have our kids that coach are playing our program, develop a combine type thing, and all the players rotate through it and get to enjoy that wearing their camp t-shirts. And we have music going. They bring food up from the farm that they cook the corn. They peel the potatoes and slice them to make French fries. We cook burgers, hot dogs. We bring in a organic ice cream truck in from one of the local farms. And it's just a huge community event that we try to tie in. During that week, though, we not only share the message about what the camp represents and what our theme is, and this year was Stand as One. We have a beautiful screen print of the American flag on the back of our tees with, you know, One Heart, One Beat, One Soul, which is our team motto, streamed across the front of it. And then the front of the shirt has a Band of Brother type look with Stand as One being our feature focal point. And, you know, so of course I get a chance to talk about how it's tied in, and then Bernie gets a chance to kind of facilitate what he's doing. And it's amazing. You're there, the parents are there, and you know what? It surprised you every time that they must be scratching their heads when they're sitting there in their lawn chairs watching the kids play in this beautiful environment, looking over the Patuxent River over top of these crops and stuff. You know, when they finally come over, they don't even realize why we're at the farm until Bernie gives his little spiel. And there's a portion of the camp where me and a lot of the families, we had like 35 families, and Bernie go out to the farm or to the fields, and we actually harvest food during the camp that's going to be used for a food drop the next day. The other important piece, I mean, there's so many neat dynamics that come to this. Bernie runs the largest nonprofit organization or any organization that facilitates and helps remediate incarcerated men. There are 12 men that work there for Bernie on the farm throughout the week that are incarcerated. And they literally fight for an opportunity to work on this farm because this farm is about, you know, healing the heart and changing lives and being used to impact people. So this is our football program is. And these guys are wonderful men. Obviously, they've made some serious mistakes, some of them more serious than others. But you can see the sincerity in their eyes because when they get an opportunity to go out there and do what they're doing on that farm to serve people in the community, they start to feel a new defined purpose in their own personal life that obviously they didn't have before that kind of probably led to why they made the poor decisions they made in the past. But on Saturday morning, once we started to break everybody out of the combine and our young people were starting to eat, we were able to pull our players over, the 40 that are present, and they were able to get surrounded and listen to these incarcerated men speak about some of the decisions they made and the words of encouragement they gave our players. I mean, that experience in itself was more than you could even, you know, say. I mean, it's one thing for us to walk around and tell these kids, I've made a mistake, and you don't want to go through that same, you know, heartache. Don't do the same thing I did. But it's another for a person who's actually living out the consequences of a mistake he made. And he's looking these young men in the eyes and talking about where he was when he was their age and wasn't much different. But one decision here, one decision there led him to where he's at now. And that's the whole piece there at the farm. And then the neat thing is that it gives me a chance to spend some money on the kids. And so the Sunday following, we take all the players who worked it, all of our players from Coward High who worked it, and we go bowling as a group and kind of sharing that fellowship. And, you know, Mark was part of the foundational pieces that we've used to build our program where it's at today. And now we're reaping the rewards of it because I can tell you that I'm getting phone calls each night at the end of camp, you know, from our players excited about the next day and how much joy and how much fun they had in it. And now they're being personally invested in that service learning opportunity and providing something and giving back to those young people in the same way that we as coaches try to give to our kids. And that's when you know you've arrived, and that's when you know you're actually fulfilling the mission that you have. So that's kind of how that camp goes. And certainly, again, I've underlined a lot of things that don't exactly equal or translate to X and O's or success on a scoreboard, but there's a whole lot of that goes on too. Our 2.5-hour practice incorporates all the nuances of football that you can imagine. And the advanced camp that we faced this year was for our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And we put them through the same high school practice we put our freshmen through. And so it's a good time. And everybody walks away, you know, completely full at the end of Saturday from all the food. But also their spirit is full and their attitudes and their joy is high. So it's an exciting experience.
Hey, Rick, we've got a caller. I'm going to bring them on air. Caller whose number ends in 97. Your mic is open, and you're live on air on Let's Coach with Mark and Carolyn. Welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, caller, can you hear us? Okay, maybe they're just listening in. I'm going to turn their microphone back off. Put them back in listen mode. Rick, what's, you know, you do a lot outside of football, outside of the field, time in the classroom with kids. You've got the character building component in the, that you do with your players in the classroom. How do people react to all of the outside all kinds of games involved in?
So your question is, how do people react to the things that are outside of what the typical world of football is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's funny that you should say that. I think we've had, I know personally, I'm very fixated on the mission and the purpose that I live. You know, I think to the heart of each one of our coaches, they're in that same mode. But depending on how they are in their faith and their walk, we can easily, all of us can easily be distracted and deterred by what the world suggests we should be as men and what we should be as football coaches and what we should be as a football program. You know, I have had, you know, some, not many, but some people would say, you know, this is the type of instruction that we should be giving at home. You know, our kids want more football. They want more of this and we want more of that. And my comment to anybody and everybody is, look, you know, this is just the way it is. I can't help it. I said, if it was just about football, then I'd still be working at University of Maryland or Lord knows where. I can't live in a profession that's just about transactional coaching. It's about transformation. And that's what I feel my response to my purpose is to these young men. Because somewhere down the line, there's been somebody who's poured into me to help me become who I am. And, you know, so we don't get many, but there are a lot of raised eyebrows and curiosity that comes with it. We have a platform where we share a lot of things that people want to hear. And they hear oftentimes when they may go to some type of rally or some type of event. You were even on church on Sundays. And they may hear all these things, but because of society and because of the heartache and the issues in today's world, specifically in America, with the dissension and division that we have amongst ourselves, sometimes those weekend events that we get a shot to the heart or the three-day camp that we did at Serenity Farms, it's a flash pan effect and it makes us feel good in that moment. But the question is it sustainable? You know, when we go back to our regular job or we go back into the world in which we're living in, where there's just a lot of corruption and anger and hatred towards one another. And so to me, the football program has a big responsibility here at the school and in this community. We pride ourselves, it is Calvert High School, which is in Calvert County, the oldest school in Calvert County. And there's generations of people that go through this school that started in this school way back when. And so we pride ourselves on the fact that we want to kind of be that constant and consistent beacon of light on to the rest of the people around us of the truth and how, you know, we want to live and how we would rather society be. So, I can say to answer your question, yeah, there are some people that have curiosity. Not, I don't think anybody's trying to shoot us down. Our administration is fully supportive. But there is certainly some curiosity, and there's certainly some people who come in and, you know, question if we're serious about what we're doing. And because it's not what you see in other programs around us. There's our program does things in a whole different way. And I think that in the long run, it will translate to victories on the field. You know, I don't think that the time we're taking away to do the other things that I think are necessary to the betterment of these guys' character is detrimental to the success on the field whatsoever. You know, but it's hard for people who don't work on that level of impacting the heart to understand it. So I think that answers your question.
Absolutely does.
You know, when you look at Calvert County, it doesn't necessarily represent society as a whole. It has an average income that's much higher than the national average. The demographic breakdown for race is very, 80% in one direction. But it's surrounded, Calvert County is very close to other areas that are experiencing severe tension right now. You even look across the nation at Ferguson, and you have state of emergencies being declared because of riots there, and the different things that recently occurred here in the Baltimore area, which after a while becomes infectious and kind of carries out throughout the state as a whole. But you look at the demographic makeup of Calvert County, but have you seen any changes that you've had to address or challenges that you've had to face now as a head football coach?
It's interesting you say that. Like I said, our theme is Stand as One. It's the same thing that we're carrying out through the football season with our players. So their spear pack T-shirts will encompass the same message with the flag on the back and things like that. And I was just in our indoctrination meeting on Monday with our kids, and they came apart in the meeting where I brought one of our players up, wonderful young man. He's going to be a senior this year. I mean, an unbelievably great kid who works the tail off in the field. He's undersized. He's taken the firefighter's test 8 times before he passed it. He volunteers at the local firehouse. I mean, strong, supportive person to his single mom. And he's a different race than I am, and we're standing there next to each other. And I got my arm around him, and I'm looking at everybody, and I'm saying, what's the first thing you see when you look at us? And what's the first difference you see? And, of course, everybody loves him, and everybody there loves me. But yet the first thing that the whole group sees is the difference in skin color. And that's being programmed in. I mean, I can't tell you per man how each one of our kids feels as far as racial tensions goes or socioeconomic diversity goes in our community. I can't tell you how they feel, but I do know that the world as a whole is driven a deep line into the sensitivity of these issues. And so it breaks my heart that when I look at him and he looks at me, that's what they see. They don't see the fact that I'm almost a foot and a half taller than him, or I outweigh him, or that I'm 40 and he's, 18, or that he's a football player and I'm the coach. The first thing they identify with is the race, his skin color and mine. And, and I'm unashamed about it. And I shared this with the parents later on that night, and I share it with the people at that, Serenity Farm, is that, folks, if there's anything that's going to be our focal point, is that everything we're going to do to help bring people together. And we go as far as, and I've shared this before, about how we go about cleaning and laundering our uniforms to ensure that all the uniforms look clean and tidy. And we go as far as ensuring each kid wears the same type of color cleats. Because on that field, during that night, between the first whistle and the last whistle to go off in that 4 quarters, we don't want anything on that field to have any reason for our kids to feel different or separate from the guy they're playing next to. Because everything else in the world is doing that. Everything else is featuring why we're different. And where there is value in differences. I mean, let's be honest, on the football field, there are different positions on the field. Different players have different abilities to help us be successful. But it's the purpose in which we live that unifies us. And you know what? I think as a whole in today's society, and including Calvert County, we've lost a unified purpose. We're all living for ourselves. And, that goes back to the service learning piece and things like that. Trying to get off our human nature of focusing on ourselves and focusing on others is the start to try to change all the division and separation that we have and exist, not just in race, but like I said, social and economics, intelligence and education and things like that. And so we're proactive with it, because if we have a situation in Calvert County where it's not as rancid and it's not as difficult or as challenging as what is possibly going through in the inner city parts of Baltimore here recently, then I would think that our kids have an easier chance of possibly getting out of what we're in and being that next generation of leaders that possibly can go out and help, you know, help others find the unified purpose that we can all live for.
That's one of the things I love about your program. I was in my travels recently, I was at an event where someone I've known for some time now, a couple of years, they became so comfortable around me. They made some comments that shocked me. I felt like I had been transported to the 60s. And it took me back for a moment because I'm thinking, wow, you know, if you had not seen everything I've accomplished, then what would you also be saying about me right now is what flashed through my head. But I know, as you said, that tension and that division, I feel like we're going backwards, and a lot of division is taking place. And as I said, that's one of the things I love about your program is you embody the team spirit and bringing everybody together.
We try our best to do it, and like I said, there's certainly challenges, but, you know, I think that, you know, you have to focus on things that bring us together and not separate us, and in that it's ironic because you have to also focus on some of the things that are different. For example, you know, we have to be careful when we are able to move our kids along from the high school experience into college, and we've got some young men now in college and stuff. Because what our program is doing is helping possibly take, fill in some of the gaps they may have because of whatever issues that they're going through. Maybe, you know, mom is raising them on her own and they don't have the finances to do this, or they don't have a free reduced meal plan or eating breakfast at 10:30 or a lunch at 10:30 and they're getting out of practice at 6:30. So there's got to be some type of food intake in between there so they can get the most out of practice and be able to go home and study afterwards to keep their grades where they need to be. And so when they leave here, we've helped provide them a support system that helps to guarantee that they can get the most out of their high school experience and become the best they can be, hopefully in essence trying to drive to that, you know, to the opportunities that will help them achieve the greatness in their own lives. When they go off to college, you know, it's a quandary that we're dealing with right now. You know, they have to be able to advocate for themselves and realize that, you know what, in some avenues of college and some avenues of business, that's not going to be the case. And I don't know if it's necessarily has to be that way. I think that, you know, again, our idea of what we're doing in this program could be a model of what people could use in any program or in any place or any situation. And, so what I'm saying is that I think that, in essence, you have to look at everybody and feel the same about them, but you also have to look at everybody and understand what's different about them. And in that, it's not the differences that take us away from each other. It's the differences that we can make up to bring us together. And what I say by that is that, you know, rather than looking at a young man who can afford a spirit pack or has all the resources at home to be fully fed, and all this sort of stuff, you know, you have to look at the guy who doesn't have that. And you can't assume that every kid's going to have those provisions necessary to be successful. So, you know, there it is for that young man. If you ignore it, there's a constant remembrance that he's being, that there's a separation and a division between the two. And so you have to address that difference in those two young men and help that kid along. So in one aspect, you have to focus on differences, but another aspect, you have to get rid of the differences. And so it's a neat paradigm that you have to focus on. But I think both of them come from where your purpose and your heart is. And, and that's where it starts with us. And ultimately, I think that if you look at a good leadership model, a good coaching model, a good business model, you want to multiply and duplicate yourself in the people that you're leading. And hopefully we're doing that in these kids. I think we saw it a couple weeks ago at Serenity Farm and the Youth Contact Camp, where these kids are now feeling the same joy and passion that I feel, that our coaches feel, when we are working with these kids and see them achieve greatness as we pour into them. I think they're starting to experience it in their same way at the age of 17 or 18. And how much more exciting can it get than to see a 16, 17, 18-year-old figure out that life is bigger than themselves? You know, when right now the world is telling it, it's all about you.
You know, and that's part.
Go, Carolyn.
And that's part of, I think, the principle that our young men are being raised. What it is, it's all about you. So we're not raising a generation of leaders or men per se. They're not being taught to be their head of their household, but sometimes time to take that back seat. And that's one of the biggest concerns I have, especially being a single parent raising a son, is some, you know, we thank God we have the relationship we do and we talk. But I get to hear other stories and what kids are being taught and told. And to me, and I think you would agree, it's not the definition of what a man should be.
No, no. I mean, I think that there is a fundamental idea of what a man should be. But how those guys arrive to it, it all pertains to each personal journey. And so, although I can't tell a kid this is who you're going to be, I just hope and pray that, that they, what they do is they attack it with everything they've got. They go out there to achieve greatness. They go out there to achieve an opportunity. And so that way they have choices. And whether they choose to do this or do that, it doesn't matter to us as long as they have choices. And then whatever they do, they bring honor and glory to God, to themselves, to their family, and to the people, their cohorts, and the people they work with. And, you know, when that happens, then they'll find their right place in life. And, you know, the more that we have people doing that, again, I think the less division we'll have in society, the less tensions we'll have, the more acceptance we'll have for each other, you know, a more healthy America we'll have. And so we're just, this is our little niche. We're trying to do it in our football program. Maybe a football program can become great enough that it can impact and influence me around it. But right now we're charged with the mission of the, you know, 90 to 100 kids that we have and the coaches and the families are there, you know, attached to it.
Rick, what does your team demographic look like? Carolyn gave a description on what the Calvert County demographic looks like. What's the demographic of the team and how is that the same or different than the rest of the demographic in the county?
It's funny you say that. We, this school, when the program, football program, had its major hardships, the prior staff had a difficult time of trying to keep things together because they opened up a new school in the area, and this school here, Calvert High School, was split. And so the school up the road about 10 or 15 minutes away is literally a higher, more affluent, you know, school. Where, you know, you have a large community of folks who have a strong background in going, you know, college and a high level of income and all these things. And so you would say that for the most part, the population up the road at that school that's next door, next to us, they've got a greater chance of success because of the. And then this school here, it's literally flipped the other way. In this school, the way they zoned this school, it was more so the lower income, the Section 8 housing and so forth and so on, with a smaller group of young people who come from the more affluent background. It's almost, I've said this many times, where the schools, if they could split the population 50-50, it'd be good for them up there so that there'd be more a sense of humility or an understanding of where the other side of tracks comes from. And then for us down here, it would raise our level of expectations for our young people because they can see the way the other side lives. And then the other piece that makes it difficult at this school right now is that the way they've zoned things off is that our school literally rests on the line, the border between our school and the school up the road. So there's literally kids that drive by our school every day that go to the school up the road, and then we pull from this road and then go about 20 minutes south. And so when you have as many, you know, young people who don't have provisions to get to practice or you know, get rides to home, it's a stretch for us because we're pulling 20 minutes south, further south, 20, 25 minutes further south. And, you know, so the interesting statistic is we had 82 kids in our football program last year, and only four of them can drive. And so it's a challenge. It also means that if we're looking at young people playing football or playing sports, many of them don't get to play. In our county, we're not community-based schools, community-based parks, where, you know, when you're closer to suburbs where you have these parks that are in the middle of it, then every kid, whether they can afford to play or not, they're there at that park, and a guy might see him over there at the fence and say, come on out here and play football with us, and they get him pulled in. Here, it's a 15-minute drive to our closest home field, and so you don't get that. And so you get kids that come to high school that have not experienced sport, have not experienced activities, and then by the time you get to high school, maybe the regimen and the discipline is just too drastic. And that holds true with the academic piece, too. If majority of your school comes from kids with single-family homes, with a mom that's just trying hard to survive and do the best she can to help facilitate the needs to feed her young people and her family and possibly pay for the rent, or a dad who's just working two or three jobs, whatever it might be, maybe they didn't graduate from high school, let alone to go to college. They may not have necessary information or advice to help, you know, this young person, or this young person may not even understand when you're talking to him about what you got to do to be able to go to school, because in his mind, he just wants to pass. You know, he just wants to go home and figure out, you know, what he's going to find to eat, or how he's going to do tonight his homework, when right now the house doesn't have power in it. And that's where our demographic is. Not completely, you know, which I think sometimes can be can cause issues in itself. That where if you have a pocket of people who all come from the same background, I think that you're going to find someone's going to try to fight their way out. But here, when you got young people who can sit next to somebody and see that there is someone who has it and I don't, then there can be a defeated attitude or a defeated mentality, whereas this kid doesn't have to worry about getting his practice uniform cleaned. He doesn't have to worry about getting an extra bag of lunch so he can eat something between 6 and 7 period after school. I do. I'm sitting in the locker room next to him, and I don't have any extra food to eat because mom couldn't afford to get me anything extra. I'm starving for good to practice. And so that's where we're at. And so we recognize those issues, and we do the best we can to help tackle them. Like I said, through the Power Pack campaign we talked about before. And so, but that's where demographics is. And I can say that as you get further south Lake County, they're very similar to that at another neighboring high school, Patuxent High School. But the fortunate thing that Patuxent High School has is that their school is centralized in the middle of their district and their community. And so it's easier for the kids to get there. It's easier for the coaches to get out and get to the kids. So maybe those things will change down the road. It's not something worth complaining about. It's just the reality is that. And so you need to recognize realities in order to find solutions to the issues that you may have.
For clarification, what was the Power Pack campaign?
Oh, I'm sorry. In knowing that we have a free and reduced meal plan program, which, you know, any school does in the nation, our kids get a breakfast when they come in that they can have if they're on the free and reduced meal plan, and that breakfast is provided to them, of course, for free because of their income levels that their parents have, and that breakfast is served about 7:30. We eat lunch at 10:30, and because we have such a large staff of coaches, they're commuter coaches, and they can't arrive here till 4 o'clock, we don't get on the game field till 4, or practice field till 4, and so we then consequently get done at 6:30. So, and the other thing that people don't realize is that in the free reduced meal plan, that's based upon a 2,000-calorie diet, which is, you know, not necessarily accurate for kids who are playing sports or in high school. And so our free and reduced meal plan students here at Coward High School are, in some cases, receiving the same amount of food that an elementary school kid's receiving. So it's not nearly enough to help these kids have sustainable nutrition throughout the day. I think that, you know what, we want our kids to succeed in the classroom. We need to start with things like nutrition and stuff. And so, you know, not do we just want these kids to be able to go out there and perform on the football field, but we do want them to be able to have the energy to go home and do the homework they need to do. So, you know, we've encouraged these guys. We'll have peanut butter and jelly sandwich stations in our trailer in the classroom that a kid can get the night before, so possibly they can have something between 6th and 7th period or something like that after school. But when the kids go home, we don't know what they may or may not have in their cupboards at home. So last year during our Caritas Education Program, we simply opened it up to anybody, a little form, check off yes or no if you don't think that you're able to get the necessary nutrition in a day that we're trying to provide for you, that we would like for you to have to be successful. And we had 16 kids step up. I'm sure others needed it, but only 16 said they wanted it. And so weekly, one of our local churches would take our laundry bags that we have for our kids and fill it with food, and our kids would take them back weekly. And it was just, you know, granola bars and Gatorades, peanut butter and jelly, some bread, things like that, non-perishables that the kids could put in their shelf at home and eat throughout the day take with them to school. And so that was something that we started last year, and of course we'll continue it this year as well.
Well, I hate to say this. This happens all the time when you're on the show, Rick. We're running out of time. Do you have anything that you would like to share with the audience before I give the last question to Carolyn?
There's so many things. But I guess, like right now, I would just encourage people to whether the world says it's right or not, or whether anybody else around you looks at you like you're crazy or not, just live a life of love and try to go out there and love people, man, and love each other and find a purpose in taking care of others and take the focus off ourselves. And that could be the beginning start, man for man, woman for woman, person for person, that could change the way today's society views each other and possibly help release some of the tensions that we have amongst, people in the United States of America, let alone the world. So.
Okay. Carolyn, last question, as always, is yours.
To sum everything up, and if you're reaching out, you know, there's many young men out there, or, you know, single parent moms that listen to our show too, who don't have the honor of having their kids coached by you or impacted directly by you. So what, if you were to say one key characteristic that you would strive for a young man to have today, what key characteristic would that be?
That's a great question. I mean, because I've kind of echoed this throughout the whole conversation today, but I would try to tell any young man to live a life of servitude. And you know, if you have a problem, if you have hardship in your life, the more you're looking at someone else, the less you look at what you have going on or what you may not have. And so there's a way. You may not be able to fix the fact that you can't eat this morning, but if you're constantly on helping someone else get fed, you might forget about your own hunger type of idea. I think that's a start. And I think that goes right down to all the issues we have in America today. You know, if we look at that person over there and understand what they might be going through, and that could possibly open up our heart enough to respect that person as an individual and find, like I said, the love, mutual love for others. And although we need to love ourselves, maybe we need to start learning to love others more. Mm-hmm. And I would say that. And I think in culminating that, we would also tell all of our young men, which is a governing thing of our program, live in the greatness that you have today. And, you know, and it's not always the same for every individual. We were just talking today about academic eligibility. We're not saying that everyone in this room's got to get A's, that everybody in this room can get A's. In fact, there's some kids that will get A's and B's, but that's not their greatest. That's not their best. They could all, and those kids could get A's. And those young people who get A's, B's, and C's, and they've worked their tail off, they're living in their greatest. And I think that we try to illustrate or model a culture in which we want, one, our guys to live selflessly, love one another, and live out to be their greatest. Have the greatest moment, be the greatest they can be, live in greatness. And that's the three most important things that I would deliver to any young man. And they can do that anywhere. It doesn't matter if they're playing in our football program, or they don't play football at all, or if they're in some other state or country. I think that if they go out there and, live a servant, servant leadership and have a servant life, or a servant-like atmosphere in their life, if they love other people and they try to live in greatness, I think they can have success wherever they're at.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great
words. Thank you all.
Rick, I mentioned this to you yesterday, and I wanted to mention again, I ran into one of your players yesterday who was working very hard to succeed at one of your big fundraisers. So
Yes.
for those of you in the local Calvert County area, if you'd like to buy a gold card, which is a discount card for a lot of the merchants in Calvert County, please get in touch with Rick or the team. You can find out what's going on with Calvert football by going to calvertfootball.com. Rick, any other contact info you want to put out real quick?
We have a Facebook page, Calvert Football. We're on Twitter at Calvert Football. We're on Instagram, Calvert_football. We have a web or an email that you guys can email us at Sneader, Sneader, @calvertfootball.com. We're easy to find on the internet, easy to find here in Prince Frederick. We welcome anybody and everybody, new or old, to come out and join in our community and the things we're trying to generate and experience here at Calvert High.
I do love the cover page, the background for your Twitter page right now, because it's the camp
yes.
at the farm
yes.
with all the little
yes.
kids. I love that picture.
Oh, we love them, too. I'm telling you what, if you get a chance to go on Facebook, Mark will tell you, we had an unbelievable photographer, Miss McIntosh, and we are blessed with her skill set because she does this stuff for us and comes out to every game, and she comes out to the camps, and she captures some unbelievable moments. And if you go on our Facebook page and you look at photos from last year, you'll find some good pictures of Coach Thorne as well and his interaction with some of the kids. And so, again, we're proud of Coach Thorne and what he's doing now, and we certainly miss him here at Calvert High School. But his impact on our young people is a legacy he's left behind that these kids will forever remember.
Well, Rick, thanks for that. That's a very nice thing to say.
And Coach, we love you, man. You know that, buddy.
Brother, love you, too.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Carolyn, we've got about 2.5 minutes left.
Okay, I'll be brief. No, I love having Rick on our show because he is very much, to me, an inspiration to our young men that are being raised and growing up today. And a lot of what he teaches, they carry on throughout their college years, throughout their future, because all of them don't go to college, but it impacts them so much on the skills that he instills in them. So I love having him as a guest, and just even the individual that he has become to be in his own life is very much someone I respect and honor. So again, I thank him for being on our show and sharing with us today, and I look forward. We know we have him on the show at least once a year, just before, you know, practice and the season starts, and we offer that unique approach from not just, you know, coaching like we do, but from sports coaches as well, because of what they teach and instill. It's awesome. So thank you so much. And if you want to reach out and connect with me, you can find me at cowens@infinitycoaching.net, or you can text me or call me at 901-218-7664. Or again, find me all over social media at Carol R. Owens on Twitter and Facebook, infinitycoaching.co. And Mark, how can they get in touch with you?
You'll have to listen Mark? Next week to get that information, because we're out of time. Carolyn.
No way.
Broke.
Make it better.
See y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.